Welcome to another edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. It's August 27th, 2019. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Giselle Lagasse. Giselle is a comic artist and writer. She's worked on Ménage à Trois for Pixie Trix Yunnan and Extra Sisters for Image Comics. Her previous efforts include Archie Meets Ramones, a Betty Boop mini for Dynamite, Gem and the Holograms for IDW, and a lot of cover artwork and many webcomics. During our chat, Giselle talked about her just completed work on Extra Sisters with Ian Boothby and what's in the future for that title. She also spoke about Sticky Dilly Buns and her other many projects. But before I go further, here's some of the current news about Canadian comic book creators and supporters. Marvel interviewed Jim Zub about his work on the upcoming Black Panther and the Agents of Wakanda. When asked about the challenges the heroes will face, Jim said, "The Marvel Universe is a wonderfully warped creation, filled with crazy combinations and endless potential. I love playing in this sandbox, taking esoteric pieces from past stories and tilting them in a new direction or attaching new ideas to old engines and watching them roar to life." You can read more at marvel.com. Nerdist published an article entitled "5 Reasons to Start Reading Saga Right Now." Noted as one of the most popular comics of the last decade, the write-up cites why readers will definitely want to get into Saga. Here are the reasons. It's like your favorite fantasy franchises. No more FOMO. The story is inclusive and thought-provoking. Saga has something for everyone, and the creative team is awesome. As the article says, Saga co-creator Fiona Staples' artwork is unique, incredible, and meticulous. With handwritten narration and covers that look like paintings, Staples and Vaughn make a dynamic duo who put their talent and passion into Saga, and it shows. You can read more at Nerdist.com. Refinery29 interviewed Faith Erin Hicks about her work with author Rainbow Rowell on Pumpkinheads, released on August 27th. When asked about her coming up with the story of the book, Faith said, "It was a cool story idea, but had magical animals in it, and I'm not comfortable with drawing animals. I was happy to put work into learning to draw animals. When she gave me the first draft of Pumpkinheads, I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I want to draw. The script felt like it had been made for me, because she'd written it with me in mind, as an artist. It's wonderful." You can read more at refinery29.com. And now, here's my chat with Giselle Lagasse.
Wanted to get right into it and talk about Extra Sisters and the great project you did with Ian Boothby. I wanted to ask you, like, looking back on that project, was it successful? Did it meet your expectations?
This is something that we did, it's a few months ago now. Basically, it did well enough for us anyway. We were satisfied with the results. But I think the way that Image works is that once they wait to see how the first trade is going to go, like they don't seem to do, I guess, regular ongoing, like it's always like it goes by arcs, you know, like you do like a chapter, you wait a little bit, do another one. We were supposed to wait a little bit and then do the second arc. And I think we're soon to do it, but Ian's has been busy because he's working on another series called Sparks. And he's finishing writing that, and then he's going to jump into the second arc of Extra Sisters. So hopefully this is going to be out soon. I'll have to start working on it first. So I was hoping it would have been out this year, but it'll probably be more like early 2020. So, yeah, but we've had good response. Obviously, I would say that once the trade came out, we had more people getting into it because a lot of people now, they wait for the trade. Yeah, it's been positive. I'm happy with what we got, and hopefully we get to do more. There's been a lot of interest, even like for like TV shows and stuff like that. So I don't know if I've told you this before, but it had been optioned by E1.
Oh, wow. That's great. So no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we're hoping it leads to something, but obviously with these things you never know. So, but time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, well, I know that last time we chatted, we had spoken about sort of the crossover appeal from Sabrina the Teenage Witch on Netflix. And I guess maybe there's sort of that teen witch aspect of it that sort of appeals to a lot of that audience.
Yeah, it's very similar to something like that. Also, I'd say it's almost like a female version, I guess, of Supernatural, that show they film in Vancouver. It's sort of like that, I guess. But more, although Supernatural does have humor, maybe there's a little bit more in Exorcisters. But then again, you know, with TV shows, you never know how they're going to treat the material, because I mean they're going to adapt it from the comics. They don't always follow it, you know, exactly, so who knows. I mean, just like at Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I mean the comics, the later comics that were out just a few years ago, maybe close to the show, but anything from that, like, let's say I would have read when I was a kid, is obviously not what I'm seeing on TV, you know.
Right. Now, I was going to ask you about collaborations. With this one, you worked with Ian Boothby. Are you considering any other collaborations with other creators in the near future?
I am working with Stephen Scott. He goes under Scott Duvall for comic work. We're working on a little story together. It's sort of ME3, Ménage à Trois related. Not sure when this will happen, but we were in talks, and so I'm always looking to work with people. I've talked to many friends who are interested in working with me, and sometimes I just wait for them to give me an idea, propose a pitch, or then we'll discuss it and see what we could do together, and then if it works out, then I'll go ahead with it, you know, if I can fit it. If I can fit it, I'm interested enough, everybody's interested enough, and we think we can make this work, we'll go ahead. So yeah, I have no problems collaborating. A lot of people don't like that. I like it. I tend to do it more than others, I guess, so I don't know.
Well, you've had some great results, that's for sure. Now, yeah. You just brought up Ménage à Trois, and I was going to ask about the status of that. I know that you just put out, I think it was Volume 3 that was just in stores. I'm curious to know how things are going with that.
Again, Volume 3, that's the Udon edition. I sort of completed the series in March, no, April. It was in April of this year, and which ended up being 10 volumes of the edition, the edition that I do through the Kickstarter, which I put out just under my own company name, which is Pixie Tricks Comics. And Udon started to collect it as a... They put two of my volumes into one, so they're going to end up with 5 volumes for Ménage à Trois. So the fourth one, I think, comes out end of September, and the fifth comes out early 2020. But they're also releasing the other like spin-offs that we've done, like Sticky Dilly Buns and Sandra on the Rocks. And we're also discussing Eerie Cuties that they may put out. It's doing well. It's sort of like gaining new readers that weren't even aware that this existed, I guess. And I didn't close the door on this universe. I'm still working on another series, which I called Basic Pixie Tricks Comics. And it's basically set in the same universe, but some are existing characters, some are new characters, and I'm going to bring also more existing characters eventually. I'm working on this with the same people that I was working on with Ménage à Trois, David Lumsden and T. Campbell. So, Ménage à Trois, the characters that were the three principal characters from that are still, I'm still using them. I have future plans for them, but it's not something I'll be doing it here and there. Like the story, like I said, I was working on with Stephen Scott, which... hopefully it will be more like a Z-centric story. But then we have other stories. We're thinking for Dee Dee, for Sonya, and stuff like that. Even Gary, eventually. So I just wanted it sort of like a little break from it on my end. Because I had been working on it for like 11 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, I love the characters and everything. I need sort of like a little break and then to rethink. But where we ended it, I think, made sense. It was kind of like a nice ending. It sort of had to close the door, but at the same time left it open so that we can explore and do other stuff too, you know?
Sure. Now, you mentioned Sticky Dilly Buns, which I haven't heard of before, but Volume 1 will be published by Udon in January, and I wonder if you could just give a brief overview of that book.
Basically, Sticky Dilly Buns, I know it's a funny name, people, I guess, love saying it, is basically it follows, there's two characters in Ménage à Trois. One was Dylan, and the other one was Amber, and in Ménage à Trois, they end up moving in together. So basically, we decided, okay, we have a tendency of doing these series where we follow people that are living in the same apartment, sort of, you know, like Friends or Three's Company and stuff like that, and what we wanted to do is have Amber was an ex-porn star, okay? So she's trying to be legit and be respected as an actress into, like, regular roles, you know? Like, she wants to break away from the porn industry. And basically her sister, who's much younger, she's kind of very prude, and she doesn't approve of what her sister did and stuff like that. So she ends up... after graduating from her from university, she ends up moving in with her sister, and so while she tries to find a job and to get set up on her own, but she then, so it becomes like another kind of like three people living in the same apartment, sort of like we did with Ménage à Trois, except here you have a gay character, which is Dylan, then you have Amber, the ex-porn star, and then Ruby, who's very prude, who's basically living with an ex-porn star, and Dylan, who's sort of like a flamboyant gay character. And then she's sort of like, the story sort of goes more towards Ruby and her issues being such a prude, basically. And she sort of like, I don't know, discovers her sexuality, I guess, like her, what she likes and dislikes and stuff. So, I thought it was kind of nice the way that it kind of blossomed into its own thing. And we ended that just late 2018, early 2019, mm-hmm. And pretty happy with that. So it just ended up being two volumes for me when I was doing the Kickstarter, and Udon's just going to compile it into one book. So, and again, there was one character in there that I'm using now in Pixie Tricks comics. Actually, two characters in there that I'm using in Pixie Tricks comics now. So again, the universe is not totally closed. I'm using some of the characters in the new series, and like when you read the book, you feel you have a complete story, but I left it open enough so that we can explore other things, you know.
Sure. How is it like to work with Udon? Because it seems like you've worked with them quite a bit.
I've always, I don't know, I guess our relationship goes way back. I mean, they're a Canadian, they're based in Canada. They do have an office in the States, but they are Canadian to me anyway. And I always felt it would be nice that I could be dealing with a Canadian company. So I had been talking to them, like, since the beginning of Ménage à Trois. And Matt Moylan, who was also in sort of like the webcomic world. He was doing Little Formers, which is sort of like these little Transformers. He was doing a little comic strip with that. And I don't know, I felt there that we'd have some sort of understanding of what I do and how we could push it and stuff like that. And it turns out that, Matt was a big fan of Ménage à Trois. Mm-hmm. So it just made sense. Well, like, at first, he said, it's probably best that you put it out on your own, because he says, we may not, I can't remember how it happened, but he says, but I'm not sure, he says, Udon will be able to publish it. Then he ended up regretting that, because he said, we should have put it out, the single issues, the single volumes, instead of me.
Right.
So then when time came for me to do the, I said, I need to start collecting these volumes into like an omnibus, because it's getting too much to handle, like on my own, all these volumes that I'm accumulating over time. So he said, maybe Udon can do the omnibus. And then I agreed to that. We signed the contract. And then, so that went for that. But again, they're friends. I've worked with them, over the years. I've done some covers for them for Street Fighter.
Sure.
I've done some images. They do like these swimsuit issues, sort of like a Sports Illustrated, but imagine it's all like Street Fighter characters.
Oh, okay.
So like sort of like pinups and like bikinis and stuff. So I do that for them. I mean, I tend to, people like to approach me for when I do these pretty girls and stuff, but I enjoy drawing anything, like cute guys too, you know. So
sure, very
anything, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, so it's been good.
Cool. Now, another title I noticed that just appeared on Comixology, I think Volume 2 just appeared recently, is Eerie Cuties. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that title.
That's a series that I started back in 2009 and ended in 2015 at some point. And it was just basically like an Archie comic, but like an ongoing story. But imagine if they're all monsters in a high school. And everybody has they're all a different type of monsters. So like, let's say one's a werewolf, one's a werecat, one's a vampire, like a succubus, like a snake girl, and stuff like that. So it's everybody was trying to deal with the type of monster that they are. So they're going through puberty as teenagers, you know. So they're living the same things that we're living as teenagers, but because they're monsters, they're each one is sort of experiencing it in a different way. And then there's sort of like this, they'll be dating cross, you know, the monsters dating other types of monsters and stuff like that, you know. So, and then there's comedy from that. And I guess I see it. Like, so I guess maybe it's closer to Sabrina because Sabrina was a witch, because we do have witches also in Eerie Cuties. So, sure. So that was fairly popular when I was putting it out in, from let's say, 2010 to 2015, and so we've never closed the door again on this universe, and we've done these little stories and one shots over the years when we're doing Kickstarters for Ménage à Trois. Mm-hmm. So but it was never collected to put in stores. It was always just collected for the Kickstarter. So now Udon, I mean, I had a friend of mine had his daughters were like big fans of Eerie Cuties, and he says, you know, you should really be in stores.
Right.
And then, because, you know, a lot of teenagers would love this stuff. So Udon said, okay, well, we're going to look into it. So this might come out in stores in 2020. And I am thinking about maybe doing a new spinoff with this universe. So it may sort of come back to life in 2020. But it would be probably under a new name, or I'm not too sure yet. We're still working it out, because I'm working on another one shot that we funded with the Kickstarter. So once that's done, then I'll concentrate on what I can do with this Eerie Cuties project. We have something in mind, but it's not completely concrete. We just need to finalize all the discussions that we've had up to now. So
sure, that sounds to me like it might be yet another property like Exorcisters that could be picked up by some streaming service, just based on what you've told me. That sounds pretty intriguing.
Yeah, like I'm hoping, like this one I did, when we did it was more, it was like sort of like a manga style. It was all black and white, and it was, mm-hmm. we were trying to grab that audience. But now with all these new, like all these websites like Webtoons and Tapas and all the other ones, where they're like, people are like reading on these, on their phones, you know?
Right,
and it's more like color and stuff. So I may try to approach this in a different way. So this kind of, not a reboot, but this spinoff set in this world would be treated in a different way, so it would look different. So if we ever collected, it would still be the same Eerie Cuties universe, but it might be under another name. So we'll see.
Sure. Now I noticed you've got a convention coming up, and you just finished another one. And I wanted to get sort of your feedback on what you like most about attending those conventions.
I guess meeting the people that are, you know, that have read the work. I mean, mostly, and so also trying to get new people to discover the work. I mean, this is the main reason we do these things. It's hoping to get more people into the property. I think I've managed to do that. I did less this year than I did in previous years in terms of conventions. I think it'll depend on my mood and if I feel like doing them or not. I mean, they are a lot of work, because
yes,
when you do them, you lose time to work on the stuff that, I mean, you actually lose time to work on comics. So you have to kind of make a choice. Do you want to work on comics, or do you want to spend the time trying to promote it? So it's you have to find the right balance, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
But they're fun to do, and also fun because, you know, you end up you become friends with the people that are doing these conventions, and also you'll see some familiar faces, and so it's almost like seeing friends again, you know, like every time you go to a certain convention and stuff. So, and it gets me out of the house, because, you know, I work from home, so once in a while, it's nice to get out, you know. So.
Sure. See real people.
Exactly. Because you got to socialize a little bit, you know. So.
Thanks to Giselle for the chat. You can discover more about Giselle on Twitter at Giselle Lagasse and online at www.giselleLagasse.com. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts. And please leave a good rating. Please check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website and follow along on Twitter at True North Comics. Please send your feedback to info@TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2019.